This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good Saturday morning on which promises to be a very busy program this morning. First thing in order, I want to wish good luck to the contestants who are fishing in today's Lafayette Kayak Club's Cajun Castaway Tournament. You can congratulate the winners. 3 o'clock, the weigh-in's going to be at Crying Eagle Brewery in Lake Charles. And we'll talk more about that tournament with Eric Mohabarak, our paddling reporter. Also got some really big news for you, Louisiana Red Snapper anglers. 7-day-a-week fishing returns this Monday. I'll have the latest quota harvest numbers for you and take a guess at how long it may last. Want to get out and catch some summertime sockeye? Well, Blaine Salter, our freshwater field reporter, has sent me a report on a hot spot, but you may be surprised by the technique that you should use. Also, if you're going to be cleaning out your freezer for the hunting season this weekend, well, it marks the beginning of the Hunters for the Hungry's frozen game and seafood collection program called Clean Out Your Freezer Day. It's where I'll be tomorrow, and I'll run down the schedule to help you find the closest location near you where you can make a donation of your frozen game and seafood. You heard Julie Grunewald was on with us last week, the director, and it's badly needed, and it goes for a great cause. It's a win-win-win program. Well, this past Wednesday, a Grand Isle fisherman received a gift on behalf of Raising Cane's CEO Todd Graves, the Louisiana chapter of the Coastal Conservation Association and Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Our Bayou Wild TV team was there to document it for a future episode, and I'll tell you more about the creation of the Hotel Sid Fishing Reef. We'll do that with Daryl Carpenter. He and I fished it a few times and had a couple of really good trips there. And also, we had a picture of some of the participants on my Facebook page asking who could you identify. And some of you knew them all, some knew few, some knew none. We'll tell you who they are. And speaking of Grand Isle, well, that's where the crime scene, where this week's greedy bad boy of the outdoors was busted. He was in possession of 466 fish. Also had a snapshot of that on Facebook. You might want to check it out on my Facebook page and take a look at what 466 fish laid out on a dock by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement looks like. Also, we have a special guest appearing this morning. That'll be Sam Hopper, the director of the CCA Star Tournament, for an update. The fourth tagged redfish by a registered angler has been caught. And he'll tell you there's still time to get out, and maybe you might catch the fifth and cash in on some big prizes. Also, some other opportunities to place in that tournament. We also have the Coastal Marine Forecast coming up for you, but I want to remind you, if you've had a successful fishing trip this week, we'd like to include it with your comments and your questions and reports from our professional captains. You can do that by texting us. Send us your message. Comes real time here to St. Hubert's Cathedral Annex, that is, this week. And it's at 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Your reports, your fishing reports, questions, and comments. If you're headed out today, well, yeah, you got to be careful of the heat. This has been the hottest time of the year. Looking for offshore, not bad at all. East winds, only 5 to 10, about 2 to 3 foot seas on the interior lakes and bays. Kind of a switching around. It's going to start off southwest, later become southeast. Only at 5 knots, some smooth conditions there. Good day to get out to those exterior bays and lakes that are, you know, basically just inside the Gulf of Mexico. Should be some calm conditions for the boaters. Tomorrow, offshore west to southwesterly winds, about 5 knots, 2-foot seas, still very fishable. And on the inside, not the west, that's not the one I like the best, but only 5 knots in smooth conditions. And a great tide range, 1.9 foot. Mississippi River, 4.1, low, even got a little bit of saltwater intrusion, the saltwater wedge coming up near Boothville. And rain outlook, About 20% today, 40% tomorrow on the increase. And I tell you what, rain would be welcome this time of the year. All right, we'll be back to kick it all off. Robbie Campos, our target. He's at Shell Beach down there at Campos Marina. You'll hear from him next right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And we start off our Saturday mornings at Shell Beach at Campos Marina, and we talk to this guy, Robbie Campo. Robbie, been hot, but pretty fishable this week. How'd things go?
Well, I tell you, Don, the sound was rough. Breton Sound, Chandler Sound, this past week was rough. And I don't mean from not catching fish. It was rough from the wind blowing out there. I had guys come in told me there was 3-4 footers out there. So that made fishing conditions kind of tough. But the guys that did pound their way out to the islands and got on the lee side of the Breton Island and Chandler and Curlew, and they did pretty good. So if you want to take that whipping to get out there, I mean, it's on you. But it's supposed to be, you know, I looked at the forecast, Don, and it's supposed to be light winds out of the southeast for Saturday and Sunday. But and here it's dead calm. So, I mean, there's not a breath of wind here. So hopefully it stays that way, you know, out in the sound for these guys today so they can get out there and get on some fish. Now, I tell you, the long rocks did save a bunch of them's butt this week because, they were out there and it was rough, and they wound up fishing the long rocks, and there was a lot of pick-throughs now, but they wound up getting their limits fishing on the long rocks. So you have that. And I had some guys go over on the Delacroix side over the Ward Iron Banks and Stone Island yesterday and did okay over there. So, you know, that side there is turning on better every week. So, this river going low, so that's getting better over there all the time. So you have options, Don. Plenty of white trout being caught over in Christmas Camp over the Oyster Reefs in Morgan Harbor over there. So they have that to do. I mean, if you can't get out, Comfort Island, the same thing. It was lots of white trout, big white trout, nice white trout, you know, 13, 14 inch white trout. That's good fish. So you have that you could go do. So it's up to you, Don, or whatever, you know, whatever somebody's got on their mind to go do today. We got live bait in the tanks. All you got to do is hook the left at the bridge and come on down and see us.
What were the reports from the guys on the sound? Were they catching deep on live bait? Were they using the plugs? What was the technique?
Well, it was kind of half and half. It was live bait and plastics. Worked pretty good over this week, Don, over by Breton Island. But I tell you, you know, it was just getting out there. It was really rough. a lot of guys turned around and came back and fished the long rocks and went up, Mozambique and fished, I would say places that's, wasn't so rough. So, but the guys that braved it went out there did really well, and it was really nice trout too. I'm talking like, anywhere from 15 to 19 inch fish. It was all good fish. So, you're going to go out there. If it is rough today and you pound your way out there, you will catch some fish by the islands. That's for sure.
Yeah, I just got to remind people that are fishing out there, only two over 20 inch, because you're liable to run into a lot of 20 plus inch fish over that way.
Yeah, well, we talk about this every week, Don. You know, we don't make the rules, we just abide by them. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things that screwed up in this world, and unfortunately, that's one of them. But you and I don't make the law, we just got to go with it.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story about regulations. You know, we got the new no bull redfish keeping, and I was down to Grand Isle this week, and we were documenting the creation of an artificial reef down there, and there were a lot of wildlife and fishery people. In fact, there was about 5 or 6 agents that accompanied us down there, and we came back to the marina, and as I was pulling out, a guy came up to me, and he said, listen, he says, you think anybody over there at the marina has a scale? He said, my buddy's got a redfish he wants to weigh. He thinks it's about 45 pounds. And I told him, I said, well, if they don't have a scale, I mean, you just take the measurements and there's a chart, And then we drove. And then I got to thinking, you know, he probably don't have this fish alive to release, and he's walking over there in a nest of agents wanting to ask around for a scale to weigh a 45-pound redfish. So I never did get how that story ended up. Yeah, he was walking into the den of death right there.
Yeah, that's not good. Wow. I mean, you have to pay attention. To, you know, you don't want to go out there and get put in that trick bag, and that's, you know, there's, you know, they told me in court, there's no room for being stupid, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm kind of hoping maybe they'd write him a warning ticket, because nobody would be that bold to walk in with an illegal fish and ask a bunch of agents if they got a scale to weigh this illegal redfish. They'd have to know that he was ignorant of the law and maybe write him a warning ticket. You know?
Yeah, but ignorance of the law just don't cut it sometimes, Don, you know.
There is a difference between ignorance and stupid. There's a definite difference. Robbie, want to remind people, CCA Star, you still got tickets down there. It's not too late. We had another one of those fish caught by a registered angler.
And it's winding down, and we're gonna have Labor Day party here, wrapping that thing up on this Labor Day, Labor Day weekend. We got a guy coming in from Kentucky who's a country singer, Tim Rhodes. He's going to be singing here Friday and Saturday night. So if anybody wants to come hang out and have some fun with us over by the Kiwis Trail, we're going to wrap up CCA Star Tournament in our own style over here by the Kiwis coming this Labor Day weekend.
Ain't nothing like a Shell Beach party, that's for sure.
You better believe it.
See you next week, Robbie. Take care, my friend. Stay cool.
All right, Don. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo. You can see him at Campo's Marina. All right, coming back after this, I got a very unique style of catching some sockeye, crappie, whatever you want to call them, this time of the year from Blaine Salter. We'll pass that along to you. Also, kind of run down for you that new regulation, 7-day-a-week red snapper season returning. All right, back to do it. After this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we get texted in during the program from our listeners, and I see we got the Worm checking in. He's one of our regular listeners, and he says he's sitting in the New Orleans airport flying to California for a week of work, I think is what he meant. And he says, Mrs. Worm is listening, so to tell hello. So we've become a message board. Just want to let you know, Mrs. Worm, Mr. Worm is safe and sound in the airport, letting you know that. All right, we're also hearing from our buddy Wingbone, the turkey call maker in Wilmer, Alabama. And Ed says, last Saturday, a man was ejected out of his boat. He had on his life jacket, and the kill switch was attached. Well, that was good news. And kill switch, for those of you not familiar with it, is not meant to kill. It kills the engine, not the operator. It attaches to the outboard motor, and when the operator goes overboard or falls down, the switch is pulled out, and it automatically kills the engine, which is one of the greatest devices ever invented for boat safety. Also had that PFD on, so I'm assuming he's in good shape. All right, Captain Ross L's checking in. He said he was off this week, but he's after him. He's all fired up this morning. He's going to go catch him down there out of Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, wanted to mention to you red snapper fishing. Season 7 days a week, going to go back in effect. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary, Madison Shaham, signed a declaration of emergency. They've figured out we've got enough snapper to take it through Labor Day and maybe on into that, so they're going to go ahead and reopen it. You know, it was started at 7 days a week, then went to three-day weekends. Now going back, starting Monday, 7 days a week, you can fish them during the week. About 80% was caught through August the 4th, so that was about 13 days ago. So you can figure we're probably somewhere in the high 80s, low 90s. So we're pretty much approaching our total allowance of almost 1 million pounds this year, 934,587. But until further notice, and they'll send the word out when they anticipate that the total harvest will be caught. All right, from Red Snapper, we take you to sockeye. If you are an avid sockeye fisherman, crappie fisherman, you know this time of the year when it gets hot, they can be hard to locate. Got a report in from our field reporter, Blaine Salter, and he got a report from Glenn Davis, who is arguably one of the best sockeye fishermen in the state. The target area would be Morganza at Old River. He said the last 4 days have been producing catches, and he sent me some pictures to prove it. He's a very nice fish. But he says, here's the kicker. You're better off fishing the four hottest hours of the day, midday. You know, generally the rule of thumb for fishing is go early, go late. Water temperatures are going to be at their coolest, and it's also the most comfortable. But when it comes to these sockeye, they're ganging up in the shade underneath piers on the inner side. And he suggests to fish deep, dark piers in 12 to 14 feet of water. If you got a live scope, that'll help, but you don't have to have it. But also use the heavier jig heads, about an eighth of an ounce, and match it up with a gray or shad-colored baits. That's what's working best. It's going to mimic what they're naturally feeding on. Lighter jig heads won't hold against the wind or the current and won't keep your bait still enough for the big fish to get to them. But you just got to be confident and know that's where they are. They're down deep in that shade underneath the piers. Nobody caught any fish early. They were all caught during those brutal heat hours. But when you get boxes like he's showing me, that kind of eases the pain, as Blaine says. So we thank Blaine for that tip and that location. All right, I want to remind you, this is also a Hunters for the Hungry weekend. Today, Covington, St. Francisville, and Natchitoches. That's the drop-off points that will be open today. Tomorrow is the big day in Acadiana, Alexandria, Baton Rouge, and there's several pickup points and drop-off points in Baton Rouge. Clinton, Lake Charles, Houma, also in Monroe, New Orleans, Ruston, Mandeville, Slidell, Maurice. In fact, I'll be at the one in Slidell. That's going to be at the Rouses on Gauze Boulevard. That's the one down towards the interstate. There's two of them on Gauze, and it'll be the one near the Sportsman's Haven location. I'll be there from 1 to 4. Come on by and drop something off for me, and we'll talk a little bit of fishing and hunting, and I've actually got some prizes to give to the first several people who show up there with donations. Thibodeau's got their collection going on tomorrow, as does Winfield. If you want to find the specific drop-off location and the specific time for your closest area, go to their website. It's cleanoutyourfreezer.com. Easy to remember, cleanoutyourfreezer.com. What's done with this food, and it does have to be clearly marked and dated and identified as what it is, they donate this to food drop-offs and soup kitchens and nonprofits all across the state to help feed the hungry people who are less fortunate, and it's a real treat to get something that's truly priceless. You can't buy wild game and game fish, but you can certainly donate it and pass it along to them. So hopefully you'll participate in that. All right, we're going to be back right after this, and we'll get to some more of your text messages. It's 504-260-1870. Also going to tell you, who are those people in the pictures in Grand Isle? In the background, you can see the barge and the crane dropping what's known as Cajun coral down to the bottom to create an artificial reef. Who are those people in the picture? We'll tell you when we come back right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, our text message board is open for you at 504-260-1870, and we get this one coming in. It says, good morning, Don. Maybe you can help find out why only one of the boat operators has been named in the fatal boating accident on the Tickfaw River a few weeks back. Thanks. I don't have any idea, but maybe I can do a little bit of looking into it. Perhaps it was a juvenile, and they don't release names of juveniles in those instances, so it's the only thing I can think of, unless someone's trying to protect somebody, but that happens on occasion. All right, we also have this one from our buddy the Steel Man. He went with smalls, and the pair of them caught a couple reds south of Houma last weekend, and they had those temporary boat troubles to overcome, don't we all? Permanent repairs in the plan for this weekend, and he gives us that happy hunting. And a question comes in, have you heard anything new on Plaquemines Parish water diversion? Are they ready to rebuild wetlands, help fishing, shrimp, oysters? Latest I heard, there has been a delay. They've kind of put a stay on, if you're talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion project, they're kind of rethinking it, relooking at it based on the cost of it and the benefit per cost, and it's taken up a huge amount of the money, but it gets complicated because there are contractors who are under contract that are ready to go, and they're being put on hold, so it's getting a little bit messy on whether that will proceed or whether it's going to have to go through the courts or what the final outcome is going to be. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause, and we'll be back. And if you were one of the ones that checked out my Facebook page and you saw that picture of us in Grand Isle on the boat with the barge in the background creating the new artificial reef, going to be called Raising Cane's Hotel Sid, I'll identify who those five folks were. You probably know some of them, and I know you'll know one when I mention his name. Back to do that, but first we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, that picture that appeared on the Facebook page, there were five of us sitting on a gunwale of a Freeman boat that went out there into Grand Isle. On the far left, a lot of you know, that's CCA's. Of course, these people had sunglasses and caps on, so it might have been a little difficult. CCA's director, David Cresson, he was aboard. And then moving to the right, Todd Graves, CEO of Raising Cane's, who generously put up $100,000 to be matched by an additional $100,000 for the creation of the reef. And he has all intentions of maybe helping create some more of those reefs. Those things are wonderful as we lose habitat for fishing. You know, it's kind of a really sticky, silly situation. We've got oil and gas rigs and platforms out in the Gulf, and some of them are in the interior, like this one is only 2 miles offshore, actually on the backside, going kind of on the backside of the island, in between a Bird Island and some others where there's a little bit of protection if you're getting out there. They get decommissioned when they stop producing, and instead of letting them topple the rig and drop all of the debris to the bottom to create the reef, very simply, they make the oil companies pay to have it hauled away and remove the habitat that attracts the fish. Well, that's why they come in with these artificial reefs, and there's been an awful lot of them. If you go to the CCA website, they're all listed there, latitude, longitude, coordinates. They're easy to find. A lot of them are marked. And believe it or not, they start producing pretty rapidly after they're put down. Well, this one is called Hotel Sid, and I'm going to talk more to Darrell Carpenter, who fishes that area and has fished Hotel Sid, and I've fished there with him. It's gone. It ain't there no more, as they say, but now the Cajun coral is going to replace it. So getting back to the people on the boat, it was David Cresson, CCA, then Todd Graves, CEO of Raising Cane's, yours truly, then Madison Sheehan, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary. She made the trip out there. She wanted to see it for herself. And on her would be her left, in the right of the picture, is none other than our photographer and editor of Bayou Wild TV, Chris LeCocq. And Chris was there. We documented it. And we'll show you the creation of it, get the theory of it, and talk to all the people involved on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild TV. So you don't want to miss that. All right, back to the text board. Got them coming in fast and furious. Let's see. This one says, Don, really enjoyed listening to your show for many years. I'm going to drop off some deer meat tomorrow for the Hunters for the Hungry. I have plenty of pure beef from purchasing a cow this last year. Are they accepting this as well? Thanks. That's John from New Iberia. Absolutely, John. They'll take anything bought in the store. A lot of people do that, and I'm glad I'm going to be at Rouse's this year because that's so convenient for someone to walk in and pick up some protein or seafood or even canned goods or anything. I mean, you know, it's tougher lately than ever, although Hunters for the Hungry set a record last year, which only tells me and demonstrates the tremendous generosity of outdoors people. I mean, they step up to give, even though the economy's tight. Look at the prices at the store. It's getting harder to feed a family. But nonetheless, Hunters for the Hungry has come through. All right, here's a message from one of our Alabama regulars. He's called the backstrap stacker for obvious reasons. He says it went from 12 inches of rain last month to 0.08 so far this month. Hopefully this drought won't last too long. My cow peas need some rain. Yeah, there's a lot of people got their plots invested, and I think it's coming. There was some around here yesterday, and of course I'm in South Alabama today at what we call St. Hubert's Annex. And it was extremely dry when we got here, but I saw some pop-up storms in and around. I didn't get any here, but some areas are getting it. It's kind of hit and miss. And here's one says, good luck to the Yakkers fishing the Lafayette Tourney today. Getting ready for Ride the Bull next week. Yeah, that's only 1 week away. That's the big one on Grand Isle. He says, please get some info on the bulls in the past and other local fishing. We'll be on the island most of the week. That's thanks. Biscuits and Boudin over here. That's our friend, the Lafayette Yakker. Yeah, we'll check in with Darrell and find out if Caminata Pass has been producing some of those big bulls, which that's what it's all about. And we've got a special event going to be going on. Randy Pacina of Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, they're going to be implementing the first ever redfish restocking program in Louisiana, and the spawners are going to come from the Ride the Bull tournament. We're going to be down there, our Bayou Wild team documenting the catch. They'll be transported to Ocean Springs, Mississippi to put in the fish hatchery. And then when they reach, I think it's a 2-inch size, they'll be brought back to Louisiana and stocked in various places to help restore our redfish population. And we'll be documenting that on future episodes of Bayou Wild TV. All right, right after this, we'll be right back. We'll get to more of your text messages and some more announcements we got coming up. So stick around for it. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, getting back to our text board, this question comes up. If the photographer was in the picture, who took the picture? Well, let me assure you, that boat was covered with media. There were people from a lot of television stations in New Orleans and the Advocate and the Times-Picayune. I think it was the young lady that was doing the story for the Times-Picayune who actually took the picture. But there were plenty of capable people to take the picture. All right, here's a comment. I fish out of Shelly Beach. I think you mean Shell Beach, I guess. But I fish out to White Log and north to Little Bayou Pierre. I've heard of some man-made structures in the area called Flatboat Reef. Are you aware of this and where it's actually located? I'm going to make a note to maybe check with Robbie Campo on that next week. Maybe he'll have an idea. I do not, and maybe if we got a listeners who do fish that, they could tell us. Sometimes these areas, these points and water bodies and passes, and they have different names. People give them names on their own, and they kind of become that name. But if you look on a map, it could be something different. Anyway, we'll check it out and let you know. All right, I want to remind you something we talked about last week. Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries is putting on two women's fishing 101 workshops this fall, and it's for women over the age of 18. If you want to learn about fishing, they teach it all to you. Fish identification, how to handle fish, how to basically rig up the equipment, the skills, how to clean fish, store, cook fish, the whole deal. They are randomly selected. The ones who attend, they'll make a random selection, and they get the chance to go on an overnight weekend fishing trip with some of the biologists and the volunteer instructors. So if you want to sign up first for the workshops, one of them, the first one is September 7th. That's a Saturday at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge in Baton Rouge. It'll be from 9 in the morning till 4:30. And the second one is November the 2nd, 9 to 4:30, same place, Wadeel Refuge. You can go to the Wildlife and Fisheries website and check it out, fishing workshops. And if you get randomly selected, first of all, I think it's first come, first serve to get in on the workshops. And then if you qualify for a workshop, then all of those names will be put into a drawing. And then there'll be some winners who will get to accompany them on an overnight weekend fishing trip. So check that out. Also for you hunters, you bow hunters in particular, but not necessarily, Mississippi is bringing back, they did this last year, their velvet season. And this is going to be September the 13th through the 15th. So it's like 3 days only. It's only on private lands, not on public management areas. And one legal buck for each deer management unit can be taken. It is archery only, longbows, recurves, compound bows, crossbows, no maximum or minimum draw weight on it, and no minimum arrow length. Now, there is an extra permit that's needed. If you're a resident of Mississippi, it's only $10. But and they're famous for this. If you're a non-resident of Mississippi, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. Any non-resident that has a deer permit does not expire until after that. You don't need to renew your deer permit prior to your expiration. That's a good break. Again, the bag limit's one. You do have to mandatory harvest reporting. You got to report it, and you do have to submit it for mandatory CWD sampling. So it's a great opportunity. If you want to get a buck with velvet antlers and maybe get it mounted, here's your chance, and it's special in Mississippi. All right, we talked about Bayou Wild TV. All right, our text message board is open for you at 504-260-1870, and we get this one coming in. It says, good morning, Don. Maybe you can help find out why only one of the boat operators has been named in the fatal boating accident on the Tickfaw River a few weeks back. Thanks. I don't have any idea, but maybe I can do a little bit of looking into it. Perhaps it was a juvenile, and they don't release names of juveniles in those instances, so it's the only thing I can think of, unless someone's trying to protect somebody, but that happens on occasion. All right, we also have this one from our buddy, the Steel Man. He went with Smalls, and the pair of them caught a couple reds south of Houma last weekend, and they had those temporary boat troubles to overcome, don't we all? Permanent repairs in the plan for this weekend, and he gives us that happy hunting. And a question comes in, have you heard anything new on Plaquemines Parish water diversion? Are they ready to rebuild wetlands, help fishing, shrimp, oysters? Latest I heard, there has been a delay. They've kind of put a stay on, if you're talking about the Mid-Barataria sediment diversion project, they're kind of rethinking it, relooking at it based on the cost of it and the benefit per cost, and it's taken up a huge amount of the money, but it gets complicated because there are contractors who are under contract that are ready to go, and they're being put on hold, so it's getting a little bit messy on whether that will proceed or whether it's going to have to go through the courts or what the final outcome is going to be. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause, and we'll be back. And if you were one of the ones that checked out my Facebook page and you saw that picture of us in Grand Isle on the boat with the barge in the background creating the new artificial reef, going to be called Raising Cane's Hotel Sid, I'll identify who those five folks were. You probably know some of them, and I know you'll know one when I mention his name. Back to do that, but first we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, that picture that appeared on the Facebook page, there were five of us sitting on a gunwale of a Freeman boat that went out there into Grand Isle. On the far left, a lot of you know that's CCA's. Of course, these people had sunglasses and caps on, so it might have been a little difficult. CCA's director, David Cresson, he was aboard. And then moving to the right, Todd Graves, CEO of Raising Cane's, who generously put up $100,000 to be matched by an additional $100,000 for the creation of the reef. And he has all intentions of maybe helping create some more of those reefs. Those things are wonderful as we lose habitat for fishing. You know, it's kind of a really sticky, silly situation. We've got oil and gas rigs and platforms out in the Gulf, and some of them are in the interior, like this one is only 2 miles offshore, actually on the backside, going kind of on the backside of the island, in between a Bird Island and some others where there's a little bit of protection if you're getting out there. They get decommissioned when they stop producing, and instead of letting them topple the rig and drop all of the debris to the bottom to create the reef very simply, they make the oil companies pay to have it hauled away and remove the habitat that attracts the fish. Well, that's why they come in with these artificial reefs, and there's been an awful lot of them. If you go to the CCA website, they're all listed there, latitude, longitude coordinates. They're easy to find. A lot of them are marked. And believe it or not, they start producing pretty rapidly after they're put down. Well, this one is called Hotel Sid, and I'm going to talk more to Darrell Carpenter, who fishes that area and has fished Hotel Sid, and I've fished there with him. It's gone. It ain't there no more, as they say, but now the Cajun coral is going to replace it. So getting back to the people on the boat, it was David Cresson, CCA, then Todd Graves, CEO of Raising Cane's, yours truly, then Madison Sheehan, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary. She made the trip out there. She wanted to see it for herself. And on her would be her left, in the right of the picture, is none other than our photographer and editor of Bayou Wild TV, Chris LeCocq. And Chris was there. We documented it. And we'll show you the creation of it, get the theory of it, and talk to all the people involved on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild TV. So you don't want to miss that. All right, back to the text board. Got them coming in fast and furious. Let's see. This one says, Don, really enjoyed listening to your show for many years. I'm going to drop off some deer meat tomorrow for the Hunters for the Hungry. I have plenty of pure beef from purchasing a cow this last year. Are they accepting this as well? Thanks. That's John from New Iberia. Absolutely, John. They'll take you know, anything bought in the store. A lot of people do that, and I'm glad I'm going to be at Rouse's this year because that's so convenient for someone to walk in and pick up some protein or seafood or even canned goods or anything. I mean, you know, it's tougher lately than ever, although Hunters for the Hungry set a record last year, which only tells me and demonstrates the tremendous generosity of outdoors people. I mean, they step up to give, even though the economy's tight. Look at the prices at the store. It's getting harder to feed a family. But nonetheless, Hunters for the Hungry has come through. All right, here's a message from one of our Alabama regulars. He's called the backstrap stacker for obvious reasons. He says it went from 12 inches of rain last month to 0.08 so far this month. Hopefully this drought won't last too long. My cow peas need some rain. Yeah, there's a lot of people got their plots invested, and I think it's coming. There was some around here yesterday, and of course I'm in South Alabama today at what we call St. Hubert's Annex. And it was extremely dry when we got here, but I saw some pop-up storms in and around. I didn't get any here, but some areas are getting it. It's kind of hit and miss. And here's one says, good luck to the Yackers fishing the Lafayette Tourney today. Getting ready for Ride the Bull next week. Yeah, that's only 1 week away. That's the big one on Grand Isle. He says, please get some info on the bulls in the past and other local fishing. We'll be on the island most of the week. That's thanks, Biscuits and Boudin over here. That's our friend, the Lafayette Yacker. Yeah, we'll check in with Darrell and find out if Caminata Pass has been producing some of those big bulls, which that's what it's all about. We've got a special event going to be going on. Randy Pacina of Recreational Fisheries Research Institute, they're going to be implementing the first ever redfish restocking program in Louisiana, and the spawners are going to come from the Ride the Bull tournament. We're going to be down there, our Bayou Wild team documenting the catch. They'll be transported to Ocean Springs, Mississippi to put in the fish hatchery. And then when they reach, I think it's a 2-inch size, they'll be brought back to Louisiana and stocked in various places to help restore our redfish population. And we'll be documenting that on future episodes of Bayou Wild TV. All right, right after this, we'll be right back. We'll get to more of your text messages and some more announcements we got coming up, so stick around for it. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, getting back to our text board, this question comes up. If the photographer was in the picture, who took the picture? Well, let me assure you, that boat was covered with media. There were people from a lot of television stations in New Orleans and the Advocate and the Times-Picayune. I think it was the young lady that was doing the story for the Times-Picayune who actually took the picture. But there were plenty of capable people to take the picture. All right, here's a comment. I fish out of Shelly Beach. I think you mean Shell Beach, I guess. But I fish out to White Log and north to Little Bayou Pierre. I've heard of some man-made structures in the area called Flatboat Reef. Are you aware of this and where it's actually located? I'm going to make a note to maybe check with Robbie Campo on that next week. Maybe he'll have an idea. I do not, and maybe if we got a listeners who do fish that, they could tell us. Sometimes these areas, these points and water bodies and passes, and they have different names. People give them names and on their own, and they kind of become that name, but if you look on a map, it could be something different. Anyway, we'll check it out and let you know. All right, I want to remind you something we talked about last week. Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries is putting on two women's fishing 101 workshops this fall, and it's for women over the age of 18. If you want to learn about fishing, they teach it all to you: fish identification, how to handle fish, how to basically rig up the equipment, the skills, how to clean fish, store, cook fish, the whole deal. They are randomly selected. The ones who attend, they'll make a random selection, and they get the chance to go on an overnight weekend fishing trip with some of the biologists and the volunteer instructors. So if you want to sign up first for the workshops, one of them, the first one is September 7th. That's a Saturday at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge in Baton Rouge. It'll be from 9 in the morning till 4:30. And the second one is November the 2nd, 9 to 4:30, same place, Wadeel Refuge. You can go to the Wildlife and Fisheries website and check it out, fishing workshops. And if you get randomly selected, first of all, I think it's first come, first serve to get in on the workshops. And then if you qualify for a workshop, then all of those names will be put into a drawing, and then there'll be some winners who will get to accompany them on an overnight weekend fishing trip. So check that out. Also, for you hunters, you bow hunters in particular, but not necessarily, Mississippi is bringing back, they did this last year, their velvet season. And this is going to be September the 13th through the 15th. So it's like 3 days only. It's only on private lands, not on public management areas. And one legal buck for each deer management unit can be taken. It is archery only, longbows, recurves, compound bows, crossbows, no maximum or minimum draw weight on it, and no minimum arrow length. Now, there is an extra permit that's needed. If you're a resident of Mississippi, it's only $10, but and they're famous for this. If you're a non-resident of Mississippi, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. Any non-resident that has a deer permit does not expire until after that. You don't need to renew your deer permit prior to your expiration. That's a good break. Again, the bag limit's one. You do have to mandatory harvest reporting. You got to report it, and you do have to submit it for mandatory CWD sampling. So it's a great opportunity. If you want to get a buck with velvet antlers and maybe get it mounted, here's your chance, and it's special in Mississippi. All right, we're talking about Bayou Wild TV, what's airing this week. If you're tuning in, one of the most humorous, funniest fishing features we've done in the nearly 8 years we've been on the air now. This is season 13 we're in. It's called Gators, Gar, and Big Frieda. And if you're not familiar with who Big Frieda is, you probably don't appreciate this. But if you are, imagine Big Frieda catching about probably a 30-pound garfish. And it's... it's exciting, but it's funny at the same time. Check it out. And if you don't know who Big Frieda is, you will after you watch it. Go to BayouWildTV.com, and you can see it on our YouTube page, or you can find a station near you that carries the program. Something else I wanted to get this in. Riptides, rip currents. These are extremely dangerous, and this is the time of year where a lot of people fish the surf, Grand Isle, and other areas. And if you get caught in one, what this is, it's a powerful current, and the water is moving directly away from the shore. I mean, you can see it. I mean, debris and foam and the waves are just pulling out Gulf way. And even if you're a good swimmer, it's going to take you away from shore. And what happens is people who try to fight that current end up succumbing to it and drowning because you just can't. But the way to do it, if you get caught, is first thing to do is you relax and swim parallel to the shore and keep swimming sideways. Let it pull you out, and then once you get out of the current, then you can come back in. If you need to, you can float, just tread water, just hang in there till you get out of the current, but don't try to buck the current and come back in, or the riptide will win. Be careful of that, especially if you got kids on the beach. All right, we got some more text messages coming in, but we got a fishing report with Captain Darrell Carpenter. We're going to talk about that Hotel Sid fishing reef, where it is, what time of year is best to fish it, because he knows all about it. He and I fished it when it was still a rig. Now it's got Cajun coral on the bottom. We'll tell you about that and get a Grand Isle fishing report for you next on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. And we're joined now by Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darrell, we got a lot of questions for you. Hope we get time to get them all in. First of all, I did want to talk about the creation of the artificial reef known as Hotel Sid. You and I fished it as a platform. You probably fished it very frequently. Tell us about that area, where it's located, and when's the best time to fish it, and how do you fish it?
Well, Don, Sid is located right off of the Barataria Waterway, just to the east of the Barataria Waterway. And, hey, man, look, when it was a platform, it was a darn good spot. I mean, it's always attracted fish. It's always had fish. Probably March or April through about November. It's, you know, off and on. It's a good spot. It just depends on the tide, how everything's moving, where the bait's at, and everything else. But I texted you the other day. I didn't know you were going to be on the boat, but what, 10 minutes before y'all showed up, I finished out a limit of fish right there before y'all showed up and left just a few minutes before you.
You were fishing right by the barge.
I was fishing probably 50, 60 feet from the barge. In fact, we were picking on them when they were hanging the banners. We kept telling them, no, that's crooked. Redo it.
Well, sorry we missed you there. But I do remember that one trip that was outstanding where we had the pogies. And, boy, we just wore them out that day on the pogies. And, you know, the date of that trip, I think, was June 12th. So this is – not too far beyond that. If you can get a hold of some pogies and go out there, you're liable to do good well with them.
Well, look, yeah. I mean, because at Hotel City, even though the structure's gone, we still catch them there occasionally on carts. Most of us now on bottom. Nothing. There is, I mean, and we talked about this for many, many years offshore. Nothing beats a reef that breaks the surface, that goes from the bottom to the surface. But the next best thing is at least leave a dirty bottom, and that's what's happened at Hotel Cia. They've left a dirty bottom, so it still attracts fish.
Darryl, did you know the origin of the name Hotel Cid? I did not, but I learned it.
I do not, and I'd be interested in hearing this.
Do you know a guy named Sidney Bourgeois?
Do not.
Sidney Bourgeois is related to Joe Bourgeois, who has since passed on, the owner of Joe's Landing down in Lafitte. And Sidney and another guy were fishing that platform, and they had some bad weather. So they tied up and got on the platform to weather the storm. Somebody didn't put a good knot or something on the line, and the boat drifted off. They spent, I think, 2 days. And this is before cell phones, or they didn't have any radios, nothing. I think they spent a couple of days on that before they were rescued, and they named it Hotel Cid because he spent the night sleeping there.
And it must have been a good venture because it stuck.
It did, and it's there today, and it's actually named after him. So in addition to now, it's called Raising Cane's Hotel Cid Reef because it's, $100,000 from Todd Graves. Very generous of him to make that. Also, I got this question. Somebody saw Tommy Vadreen fishing Flatboat Reef, catching monster trout. I imagine you familiar with Flatboat Reef down there?
Well, there you go. That's another one of those things that everybody has a different name for different things. If they saw Tommy Vadreen, heck, I ain't seen him in a couple of years. I think he's over in Mississippi or somewhere now, but I have no idea what you're talking about on Flatboat Reef.
Yeah, well, they said that was more out of Shell Beach, but when I saw Tommy Vadreen name, I said, well, maybe it was Grand Isle because that's where he earned his fame. But yeah, as you said, he's moved away. So that Flatboat Reef may be somewhere between the Mississippi-Louisiana line. But yeah, somebody might say they had an old sunk flatboat, so they call it. Remember that flatboat, the reef with the flatboat? It ends up Flatboat Reef. Somebody had a bottle of whiskey. They call that Whiskey Bay. The names are just crazy how they get assigned. All right, I got another question.
Yeah,
this is several. Go ahead.
I've heard a flatboat pass over there in the Breton Sound, that in the border region, but I don't know.
That might be it. All right, I got this is from several people. Ride the Bull is next Saturday, so tell us what the situation is in Caminata Bay and Caminata Pass as far as the bullfish, redfish.
As I was leaving, right around dark, I guess yesterday afternoon now. As I was leaving on the shrimp boat, we passed a couple of people that were coming out of the pass, and they did report that they were catching bull reds this weekend, or yesterday. So, yeah, the bulls are starting to move in. Don, it's been a little bit of a strange week around here. I mean, I'm talking 4:30 in the morning, we get on the boat. The water temperature down here is still 92, 93 degrees. I'm talking about overnight water temperature, 92, 93 degrees. So it's still a little bit warm. I noticed, we shrimped all night long looking for bait and looking for eating shrimp up until about an hour and a half ago. And I noticed that we're starting to catch, pockets here and there of pogies. It's something we hadn't seen a whole lot in the bay here. I mean, usually I can stand on my dock. We talked about Hotel Cid. Usually I can stand on my dock and cast net pogies all night long. It's something that we haven't seen very much this summer. You've got, and I guess something,
we got to go. We're up against the clock. The big train's coming, so I got to go. I'll tell people how to get you when we come back after the top of the hour break, and we'll catch up with you next week. That's Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com, and hour number two of the Outdoor Show is on the way right after this. All right, getting back to our text board, this question comes up. If the photographer was in the picture, who took the picture? Well, let me assure you, that boat was covered with media. There were people from a lot of television stations in New Orleans, and the Advocate and the Times-Picayune. I think it was the young lady that was doing the story for the Times-Picayune who actually took the picture. But there were plenty of capable people to take the picture. All right, here's a comment. I fish out of Shelley Beach. I think you mean Shell Beach, I guess. But I fish out to White Log and north to Little Bayou Pierre. I've heard of some man-made structures in the area called Flatboat Reef. Are you aware of this and where it's actually located? I'm going to make a note to maybe check with Robbie Campo on that next week. Maybe he'll have an idea. I do not. And maybe if we got a listeners who do fish that, they could tell us. Sometimes these areas, these points and water bodies and passes, and they have different names. People give them names and on their own, and they kind of become that name. But if you look on a map, it could be something different. Anyway, we'll check it out and let you know. All right, I want to remind you something we talked about last week. Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries is putting on two women's fishing 101 workshops this fall, and it's for women over the age of 18. If you want to learn about fishing, they teach it all to you: fish identification, how to handle fish, how to basically rig up the equipment, the skills, how to clean fish, store, cook fish, the whole deal. They are randomly selected. The ones who attend, they'll make a random selection, and they get the chance to go on an overnight weekend fishing trip with some of the biologists and the volunteer instructors. So if you want to sign up first for the workshops, one of them, the first one is September 7th. That's a Saturday at Wadeel Wildlife Refuge in Baton Rouge. It'll be from 9 in the morning till 4:30. And the second one is November the 2nd, 9 to 4:30, same place, Wadeel Refuge. You can go to the Wildlife and Fisheries website and check it out, fishing workshops. And if you get randomly selected, first of all, I think it's first come, first serve to get in on the workshops. And then if you qualify for a workshop, then all of those names will be put into a drawing. And then there'll be some winners who will get to accompany them on an overnight weekend fishing trip. So check that out. Also for you hunters, you bow hunters in particular, but not necessarily, Mississippi is bringing back, they did this last year, their velvet season. And this is going to be September the 13th through the 15th. So it's like 3 days only. It's only on private lands, not on public management areas. And one legal buck for each deer management unit can be taken. It is archery only, longbows, recurves, compound bows, crossbows, no maximum or minimum draw weight on it, and no minimum arrow length. Now, there is an extra permit that's needed. If you're a resident of Mississippi, it's only $10, but and they're famous for this. If you're a non-resident of Mississippi, the permit is included in your deer permit, which is $100. Any non-resident that has a deer permit does not expire until after that. You don't need to renew your deer permit prior to your expiration. That's a good break. Again, the bag limit's one. You do have to mandatory harvest reporting. You got to report it, and you do have to submit it for mandatory CWD sampling. So it's a great opportunity. If you want to get a buck with velvet antlers and maybe get it mounted, here's your chance, and it's special in Mississippi. All right, we talked about Bayou Wild TV, what's airing this week, if you're tuning in. One of the most humorous, funniest fishing features we've done in the nearly 8 years we've been on the air now. This is season 13 we're in. It's called Gators, Gar, and Big Frieda. And if you're not familiar with who Big Frieda is, you probably don't appreciate this. But if you are, imagine Big Frieda catching about probably a 30-pound garfish. And it's it's exciting, but it's funny at the same time. Check it out. And if you don't know who Big Frieda is, you will after you watch it. Go to BayouWildTV.com, and you can see it on our YouTube page, or you can find a station near you that carries the program. Something else I wanted to get this in. Riptides, rip currents. These are extremely dangerous, and this is the time of year where a lot of people fish the surf, Grand Isle, and other areas. And if you get caught in one, what this is, it's a powerful current, and the water is moving directly away from the shore. I mean, you can see it. I mean, debris and foam and the waves are just pulling out Gulf way. And even if you're a good swimmer, it's going to take you away from shore. And what happens is people who try to fight that current end up succumbing to it and drowning because you just can't. But the way to do it, if you get caught, is first thing to do is you relax and swim parallel to the shore and keep swimming sideways. Let it pull you out. And then once you get out of the current, then you can come back in. If you need to, you can float, just tread water, just hang in there till you get out of the current. But don't try to buck the current and come back in, or the riptide will win. Be careful of that, especially if you got kids on the beach. All right, we got some more text messages coming in, but we got a fishing report with Captain Darrell Carpenter. We're going to talk about that Hotel Cid fishing reef, where it is, what time of year is best to fish it, because he knows all about it. He and I fished it when it was still a rig. Now it's got Cajun coral on the bottom. We'll tell you about that and get a Grand Isle fishing report for you next on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. And we're joined now by Captain Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. Darrell, we got a lot of questions for you. Hope we get time to get them all in. First of all, I did want to talk about the creation of the artificial reef known as Hotel Cid. You and I fished it as a platform. You probably fished it very frequently. Tell us about that area, where it's located, and when's the best time to fish it, and how do you fish it?
Well, Don, Cid is located right off of the Barataria Waterway, just to the east of the Barataria Waterway. And, hey, man, look, when it was a platform, it was a darn good spot. I mean, it's always attracted fish. It's always had fish. Probably March or April through about November. It's, you know, off and on. It's a good spot. It just depends on the tide, how everything's moving, where the bait's at, and everything else. But I texted you the other day. I didn't know you were going to be on the boat, but what, 10 minutes before y'all showed up, I finished out a limit of fish right there before y'all showed up and left just a few minutes before you.
You were fishing right by the barge.
I was fishing probably 50, 60 feet from the barge. In fact, we were picking on them when they were hanging the banners. We kept telling them, no, that's crooked. Redo it.
Well, sorry we missed you there. But I do remember that one trip that was outstanding where we had the pogies. And, boy, we just wore them out that day on the pogies. And, you know, the date of that trip, I think, was June 12th. So this is not too far beyond that. If you can get a hold of some pogies and go out there, you're liable to do well with them.
Well, look, yeah. I mean, because at Hotel Cid, even though the structure's gone, we still catch them there occasionally on carps. Most of it's now on bottom. Nothing. There is, I mean, and we talked about this for many, many years offshore. Nothing beats a reef that breaks the surface, that goes from the bottom to the surface. But the next best thing is at least leave a dirty bottom, and that's what's happened at Hotel Cid. They've left a dirty bottom, so it still attracts fish.
Darrell, did you know the origin of the name Hotel Cid? I did not, but I learned it.
I do not, and I'd be interested in hearing this.
Do you know a guy named Sidney Bourgeois?
Do not.
Sidney Bourgeois is related to Joe Bourgeois, who has since passed on, the owner of Joe's Landing down in Lafitte. And Sidney and another guy were fishing that platform, and they had some bad weather. So they tied up and got on the platform to weather the storm. Somebody didn't put a good knot or something on the line, and the boat drifted off. They spent, I think, 2 days. This is before cell phones, or they didn't have any radios, nothing. I think they spent a couple of days on that before they were rescued, and they named it Hotel Cid because he spent the night sleeping there.
And it must have been a good venture because it stuck.
It did, and it's there today, and it's actually named after him. So in addition to now, it's called Raising Cane's Hotel Cid Reef because it's, $100,000 from Todd Graves. Very generous of him to make that. Also, I got this question. Somebody saw Tommy Vedrine fishing Flatboat Reef, catching monster trout. I imagine you familiar with Flatboat Reef down there?
Well, there you go. That's another one of those things that everybody has a different name for different things. If they saw Tommy Vedrine, heck, I ain't seen him in a couple of years. I think he's over in Mississippi or somewhere now, but I have no idea what you're talking about on Flatboat Reef.
Yeah, well, they said that was more out of Shell Beach, but when I saw Tommy Vedrine's name, I said, well, maybe it was Grand Isle because that's where he earned his fame. But, yeah, as you said, he's moved away. So that Flatboat Reef may be somewhere between the Mississippi-Louisiana line. But, yeah, you know, somebody might say they had an old sunk flatboat, so they called it. Remember that flatboat, the reef with the flatboat? It ends up Flatboat Reef. Somebody had a bottle of whiskey. They call that Whiskey Bay. You know, that, the names are just crazy how they get assigned. All right, I got another question.
Yeah,
this is several. Go ahead.
I've heard of Flatboat Pass over there in the Breton Sound, you know, that in the border region, but I don't know.
That might be it. All right, I got this is from several people. You know, Ride the Bull is next Saturday, so tell us what the situation is in Caminata Bay and Caminata Pass as far as the bullfish, redfish.
As I was leaving, right around dark, I guess yesterday afternoon now. As I was leaving on the shrimp boat, we passed a couple of people that were coming out of the pass, and they did report that they were catching bull reds this weekend, so or yesterday. So, yeah, the bulls are starting to move in. Don, it's been a little bit of a strange week around here. I mean, I'm talking 4:30 in the morning, we get on the boat. The water temperature down here is still 92, 93 degrees. I'm talking about overnight water temperature, 92, 93 degrees. So it's still a little bit warm. I noticed, you know, we shrimped all night long looking for bait and looking for eating shrimp up until about an hour and a half ago. And I noticed that we're starting to catch, you know, pockets here and there of pogies. It's something we hadn't seen a whole lot in the bay here. I mean, usually I can stand on my dock. We talked about Hotel Cid. Usually I can stand on my dock and cast net pogies all night long. It's something that we haven't seen very much this summer. You know, you've got, and I guess something, you know, we
up against the clock. The big train's coming, so I got to go. I'll tell people how to get you when we come back after the top of the hour break, and we'll catch up with you next week. That's Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com, and hour number two of the Outdoor Show is on the way right after this. And we're joined now by Captain Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. Darryl, we got a lot of questions for you. Hope we get time to get them all in. First of all, I did want to talk about the creation of the artificial reef known as Hotel Cid. You and I fished it as a platform. You probably fished it very frequently. Tell us about that area, where it's located, and when's the best time to fish it, and how do you fish it?
Well, Don, Sea is located right off of the Bear Terrier Waterway, just to the east of the Bear Terrier Waterway. And, hey, man, look, when it was a platform, it was a darn good spot. I mean, it's always attracted fish. It's always had fish. Probably March or April through about November. It's, you know, off and on. It's a good spot. It just depends on the tide, how everything's moving, where the bait's at, and everything else. But I mean, I texted you the other day. I didn't know you were going to be on the boat, but what, 10 minutes before y'all showed up, I finished out a limit of fish right there before y'all showed up and left just a few minutes before you.
You were fishing right by the barge.
I was fishing probably 50, 60 feet from the barge. In fact, we were picking on them when they were hanging the banners. We kept telling them, no, that's crooked. Redo it.
Well, sorry we missed you there. But I do remember that one trip that was outstanding where we had the pogies. And, boy, we just wore them out that day on the pogies. And, you know, the date of that trip, I think, was June 12th. So this is not too far beyond that. If you can get a hold of some pogies and go out there, you're liable to do well with them.
Well, look, yeah. I mean, because at Hotel Cid, even though the structure's gone, we still catch them there occasionally on carks. Most of it's now on bottom. Nothing. There is, I mean, and we talked about this for many, many years offshore. Nothing beats a reef that breaks the surface, that goes from the bottom to the surface. But the next best thing is at least leave a dirty bottom, and that's what's happened at Hotel Cid. They've left a dirty bottom, so it still attracts fish.
Darryl, did you know the origin of the name Hotel Cid? I did not, but I learned it.
I do not, and I'd be interested in hearing this.
Do you know a guy named Sidney Bourgeois?
Do not.
Sidney Bourgeois is related to Joe Bourgeois, who has since passed on, the owner of Joe's Landing down in Lafitte. And Sidney and another guy were fishing that platform, and they had some bad weather. So they tied up and got on the platform to weather the storm. Somebody didn't put a good knot or something on the line, and the boat drifted off. They spent, I think, 2 days. This is before cell phones, or they didn't have any radios, nothing. I think they spent a couple of days on that before they were rescued, and they named it Hotel Sid because he spent the night sleeping there.
And it must have been a good venture because it stuck.
It did, and it's there today, and it's actually named after him. So in addition to now, it's called Raising Cane's Hotel Sid Reef because it's, you know, $100,000 from Todd Gray's. Very generous of him to make that. Also, I got this question. Somebody saw Tommy Vedrine fishing Flatboat Reef, catching monster trout. I imagine you familiar with Flatboat Reef down there?
Well, there you go. That's another one of those things that everybody has a different name for different things. If they saw Tommy Vedrine, heck, I ain't seen him in a couple of years. I think he's over in Mississippi or somewhere now, but I have no idea what you're talking about on Flatboat Reef.
Yeah, well, they said that was more out of Shell Beach, but when I saw Tommy Vedrine name, I said, well, maybe it was Grand Isle because that's where he earned his fame. But yeah, as you said, he's moved away. So that Flatboat Reef may be somewhere between the Mississippi-Louisiana line. But yeah, you know, somebody might say they had an old sunk flatboat, so they called it. Remember that flatboat, the reef with the flatboat? It ends up Flatboat Reef. Somebody had a bottle of whiskey. They call that Whiskey Bay. You know, that, the names are just crazy how they get assigned. All right, I got another question.
Yeah, I've heard
several. Go ahead.
I've heard of Flatboat Pass over there in the Breton Sound, you know, that in the border region, but I don't know.
That might be it. All right, I got this is from several people. You know, Ride the Bull is next Saturday, so tell us what the situation is in Caminata Bay and Caminata Pass as far as the bullfish, redfish.
As I was leaving, right around dark, I guess yesterday afternoon now. As I was leaving on the shrimp boat, we passed a couple of people that were coming out of the pass, and they did report that they were catching bull reds this weekend, so or yesterday. So, yeah, the bulls are starting to move in. Don, it's been a little bit of a strange week around here. I mean, I'm talking 4:30 in the morning, we get on the boat. The water temperature down here is still 92, 93 degrees. I'm talking about overnight water temperature, 92, 93 degrees. So it's still a little bit warm. I noticed, you know, we shrimped all night long looking for bait and looking for eating shrimp up until about an hour and a half ago. And I noticed that we're starting to catch, you know, pockets here and there of pogies. It's something we hadn't seen a whole lot in the bay here. I mean, usually I can stand on my dock. We talked about Hotel Sid. Usually I can stand on my dock and cast net pogies all night long. It's something that we haven't seen very much this summer. You know, you've got, and I guess something, you know,
we got to go. We're up against the clock. The big train's coming, so I got to go. I'll tell people how to get you when we come back after the top of the hour break, and we'll catch up with you next week. That's Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. And hour number two of the Outdoor Show is on the way right after this.